Four True Halloween Scary Stories. I was about 11 or 12 when I was getting candy with friends on Halloween. It started getting pretty late, so we all decided to split up and go home. I was going down this one street that was really dark, and this dude came out of his house as I was passing by, and I heard, "Hey, I could use your help." I'm usually always willing to help, and I didn't stop to think that maybe it isn't such a great idea to stop and help a complete stranger in the dark. So, I stopped and waited for him to approach me, and he came pretty close to me and said, "Can you please get in my car and start it for me, while I look at the engine?" He had a really weird look on his face. I ended up getting really bad vibes and said, "I actually really gotta get home." I could barely finish my sentence before he said, "Oh, it's okay. You don't have to go home. I'm a nice guy and I just need some help. Please get in my car and help me. I'll give you a lot of candy for your help." I started backing away, and every time I stepped back, he stepped closer. My heart was racing. He didn't necessarily do anything bad at all, but it was just the way he was talking to me, approaching me, and standing too close for comfort. I ended up just saying, "I really have to go home, I'm sorry," and started walking really fast. And when I turned onto the next block, I ran really fast. I still think about it all the time, because I'm not totally sure what his actual intentions were. Maybe he genuinely needed help, but I had a feeling all over my body to just run. I know it sounds cliche, but this really did happen on Halloween. I don't remember my exact age, but I do remember that I was Charmeleon for Halloween that year. It was hot, being in Houston, but I enjoy the heat, so it really didn't bother me that much. Anyway, my dad had taken me trick-or-treating around our suburban neighborhood that night. We were passing between two homes with garages that faced out onto the street. They were corner homes. These houses were known for giving out the best candy and having the coolest costumes. I knew them as the scary houses. Being the wimp that I was, I kept my head down and tried to scurry past them, knowing that they wanted to scare me. When I had walked far enough, I turned around to see my dad laughing. "You can come back, sweetie. It's okay," he said. Everyone was looking at me. Then, I noticed a guy standing behind my dad. He didn't have any skin. He was all muscle, dripping blood all over the concrete. It was Halloween. I thought it was a costume. Then, he walked through my dad, like a ghost floating through a wall, as if he wasn't even there. My dad looked confused as he saw my face twist into pure horror. I quickly turned and ran as fast as my little legs could take me. In cliche fashion, I tripped as I was running. I shoveled my candy back into my bucket, along with dirt and grass from a neighbor's yard because I was shoveling so fast. Then, I got on my feet and bolted to my house. When I got home, I locked every single door and window and started crying. My poor father was still outside. I remember talking to my mom and her calming me down after that. She let my dad back in. When I mentioned it to him, he said he hadn't seen anything and looked genuinely concerned. I never saw the skinned man again, but it creeps me out to this day. This past Monday, my coworkers and I returned to our hotel from a day of work out in the field. Rebecca and I walked to our rooms, and as we stood outside of our rooms, I opened mine and I saw someone in the bathroom. I said hello. Nobody answered. My first instinct was that it was a cleaning lady in there for some reason, and then I saw my bag with my clothes in her hands. I said to my coworker, "There's a woman in my room." Then I asked the woman, "What are you doing with my stuff?" It gets a little bit fuzzy here, because I cannot remember everything I said and what she said, but she kept mumbling about how her key still worked, how it still worked and that's how she got in. I was in shock, and she was obviously very flustered, having been caught mid-robbery. She dropped my bags and fumbled around with her purse in a white plastic bag. By this time, my coworker was behind me watching all the insanity unfold. This woman was scrambling and walking towards the door, and I said, "What's in the bag?" thinking it's probably my stuff. And so she said, "No, no, it's just my things. It's just my things, I'll show you." And so she did. I looked and I did not see anything of mine, and so since I'm obviously in shock at this time, I let her leave. I went into my room and it was ransacked. I did a quick look around to see if anything had been taken. All of my electronics were still there. Then I went into the bathroom and I saw my underwear, my bikini, and my clothes shoved into my own bags randomly. Even my passport was shoved in there. Then I looked on the counter and I saw that she got into my medication. I'm not sure what was going through my head at that moment, other than I wanted it back, so I ran out the door to go find her. I ran to the laundry room downstairs and out to the sides of the hotel, and I didn't see her. I realized I was never going to find her, so my coworker and I went down to the lobby to tell them what happened, and then we called the police. We went back up to my room to wait, and I noticed that there was a metal bat on my bed, a little larger than one of those novelty wooden bats you can get at a baseball game. But there was also a flashlight on the end. She must have left it behind in her hurry. She also left behind a necklace that must have fallen out of her bag when she was scrambling with mine. I was mostly freaking out at this point because I thought that she had gotten away with my medication that I needed. The police got there and took our statements and looked around the room as well. One thing that I noticed was there were bits of drywall in the sink, and I pointed that out to the cops, but none of us really knew where it came from. We started looking at the door and the windows to see if she pried her way in somehow, but there was nothing. So we kind of just went with the idea that she had a spare key or something, even though the hotel front desk was adamant that there's no way that could be. The officer that came brought two more officers as backup because they thought the woman might still be in the vicinity. But after our statements were taken, there was nothing else they could really do, so they left. I sat down to finally make some calls to tell people, and as I'm on the phone, I'm thinking about the drywall in the sink, and it still didn't make sense to me. So I'm on the phone and looking at the drywall and the mirror on the wall right above it, and then it hit me. I got my coworker and asked her to help me pull at this mirror on the wall. And we took the mirror down, and there's a hole there just big enough for a desperate junkie to squeeze through. I asked Brian and Rebecca if I should call the cops again to let them know that I found this, and my boss said, "There's still two cop cars in the parking lot." So I went down to tell them, and the female cop kind of rolled her eyes at me, but the young guy said, "I'll come check it out." They both came back up, looked in the hole, and found a pillow, blankets, cigarettes, clothes, toothbrushes. This woman had been living in the wall behind my mirror for God knows how long. She had access to me and my room at all times. I know it might be hard to picture. There was a crawl space about 2 feet wide in between the two rows of rooms. One of the officers called the original officer to come back and take pictures of this. She explained to him what was going on, and all I hear over the radio is "no freaking way." He comes back, takes pictures, and is just as mind blown as the rest of us. Obviously, we packed up and left immediately. What's even crazier is she's probably been there a long time. The last time we stayed at this hotel, I would randomly smell cigarette smoke, and I assumed someone was smoking in their bathroom, and it was traveling through the vents. But nope, a junkie was smoking just on the other side of my mirror. She had access to other rooms too. The holes in the walls were from a renovation, and the hotel hadn't properly patched and just covered it up with mirrors. She could have been hanging out in people's rooms when they were gone. One time, I went to the bar with one of my friends. I had just turned 21, so I haven't been to a lot of bars up to that point. My friend was drinking on the way to the bar, so he was already pretty drunk when we got there. When I sat at the bar, a cute girl came and talked to me and my friend. She said her name was Candace, and I noticed she had really bright red hair. I assumed she dyed it. It was pretty, but unnatural. Anyways, This girl was flirting with me and my friend. She could tell my friend was already very drunk. To be honest, I played along like I was drunk already too, since it seemed to be working for my friend. I didn't know if she was just trying to get free drinks, so I told her we didn't have much money. She offered to buy us drinks. She kept buying us drinks, and I started to get confused as to who she liked, between me and my friend. My friend went to the bathroom. Before he came back, he was kicked out by the bouncers, because he was too drunk. Candace and I went outside with him. She kept telling him to come home with her. He was so out of it he could barely answer her. I told her he was too drunk, and that I couldn't let him go anywhere. I didn't want him to wake up hungover in some random house with no car, and no idea what happened. Candace kept pushing it, saying that she would take care of him. But I told her no, because I had to stay with him, and I was more sober than he was, and he was my responsibility. I told her the only way he was going anywhere was if I tagged along. I assume she thought I was jealous or cock-blocking, but my friend could barely stand, and lost interest in Candace at that point. She immediately started flirting with me, and offered to get my friend a taxi to drive him home. Then, she said we could go to her place alone. At this point, I had a few drinks, and I was pretty buzzed, so I agreed. We took my friend to the taxi and walked to her car. I slightly stumbled on the way to her car. "Wow, you're pretty drunk, huh?" she said, smiling as she held onto my arm. "Yeah," I said. I don't know why, but I just felt slightly shy and anxious. Everything was just happening too easy for me, so I felt uneasy. We got in her car and drove down the street. "Want to stop at the liquor store and get some more to drink? I'll buy it, so don't worry about paying," she offered. I didn't want to drink any more than I already did. I was already buzzed, and wanted to be able to carry myself throughout the rest of the night. Sometimes I make myself look stupid when I'm drunk, so I didn't want to ruin anything with Candace, more than I already did earlier with telling her my friend was too drunk. I told her I was already drunk enough, but she insisted. I didn't want to seem lame, so I told her to get me a pint of liquor with some apple juice to chase it. She went in the store and came out with a lot more than just a pint. I assumed she wanted to drink more, and that's why she got a big bottle instead of a pint. On the car ride back to her place, we passed the bottle back and forth, but she took tiny sips. I tried to take tiny sips, but she kept passing me the bottle and telling me to drink. I somehow managed to drink all of my apple juice, and pretend to drink the bottle by spitting the liquor in the apple juice bottle. I tossed the apple juice bottle full of liquor out the window before she saw it. I didn't want her to know I was acting drunker than I was. She actually believed I was sloppy drunk when I was simply buzzed. I took a couple more sips of liquor and finished the bottle. Throughout the car ride, I called her the wrong name a couple of times to get a reaction out of her. She didn't react to it. She just kept letting me call her Carla without correcting me. For some reason, I thought she lied to me about her name initially. We drove up to her house. I pretended to trip and stumble into her front door. She helped me walk inside by holding me up. She opened her front door, which was unlocked. We walked in her house. She closed her front door and then locked it. I thought that was strange, but assumed she didn't want anyone walking in on us. I told her that I had to use the bathroom. I walked into her bathroom, locked the door, and looked in the mirror. I just felt strange. I felt like something was off. I felt myself becoming more drunk from finishing the bottle earlier. I turned on the sink to make noise, and made myself puke up the liquor I drank. I flushed and went to the sink and started drinking the tap water out of my hands to sober up. I just didn't want to be drunk, but I still wanted to hook up with Candace, so I wanted to pretend to be drunk. I turned the sink off and I could hear her talking to someone saying, "He's drunk as hell. He can barely stand up. You do it." Who was she talking to? And do what? I walked out of the bathroom and into the living room. The moment I stepped into the living room, I saw her walking into another room. All I could see was the back of her head. That strange, very bright red hair went into another room. I didn't see her face or anything. I just saw her walk fast into the room. The living room was pretty dark. "Hey, where are you going?" I slurred like I was drunk. She walked back into the dark living room and up to me. "Let's go in my room," she said. I looked at her bright red hair. and then into her eyes. They were different. Her face was different. It was another girl with the same hair. That's when I realized. It was another girl with the same wig on. It was a wig the whole time. She had changed it with another girl for whatever reason. My heart felt like it stopped. But I tried to look like I had no idea it was a different girl. I kind of smiled at her, told her I just needed to use the bathroom one more time, and told her sorry I was so drunk. She said, "It's fine, just hurry up in there." I went into the bathroom and locked the door. I heard her whisper something to someone again. This time, I heard a male voice whisper back. I honestly did not concentrate on listening to exactly what she said, but there was something sketchy going on, and I had to get out of that house. I opened the bathroom window and jumped straight out of it and ran faster than I have ever ran in my life. I didn't look back at all. I just ran through the backyard, jumped the fence, ran through someone else's backyard, hit a road, and ran toward the main road. I kept running down the main road until I saw a 24-hour convenience store. Then, I ran into the front of the store in front of the camera. I called a taxi and went home. I tried thinking what would have happened that night. What was she, or they, planning that night? Why did she tell me a fake name? Why was she trying to get my friend and I so drunk? I thought maybe a robbery, but she kept spending money on us. She kept buying us drinks, and even paid for my friend's taxi cab. And mostly, why did she wear a wig that she gave to another girl to wear? Who was she talking to? What did it mean? And what was in that room they tried to lure me into? The next day after this incident, I went back to the house with a couple of friends to see just what was going on. Nobody was there. No cars, no people, nothing. Just an empty house. I ended up finding out that the house was a summer rental, and whoever those people were, they broke into that house and used it for only one night and never came back. 6 Extremely Scary Halloween True Stories. I was about 7 years old, my brother about 10. It was well past our bedtime when our mom woke up off the couch to put us to bed. Our dad worked construction out of town back then, so it was often just us three at the house for weeks at a time. Up the stairs and to the immediate right was our parents' bedroom. Going left put you in the middle of a hallway. Taking another left down that hallway led to my brother's room. The opposite end was my room, which was also across the hall from our upstairs bathroom. At either end of the hallway are windowed doors we always kept locked and rarely used. The door on my end led to a balcony overlooking our front yard. And the door on my brother's end opened to our back porch. The house kinda leans into a small hill. My brother and mom both had a habit of waking up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. I only knew this because I was always a light sleeper, and they just couldn't help flushing with the door wide open. This night, however, my brother stopped on his way to his room and came back towards the bathroom. I'm gonna try to pee before I go to bed. The past few nights I've been too afraid to walk to the bathroom. I keep seeing a man wearing stripes at the end of the hallway. I don't know if my mom wrote it off as my brother telling ghost stories to try to scare me, or if she was already half asleep and didn't catch it, but she didn't react at all to my brother's confession. I, on the other hand, was terrified by it. The fear of seeing a ghost like that at the end of the hallway or through the windows is the reason I started running from the stairs to my bedroom at night. Years later, when I was about 18, my mom and I were having a conversation in her car about a dog we had for a very short time when I was little. We were sharing stories about Max's tendency towards destroying my shoes and other unruly behaviors when my mom blurted out, "Do you remember that time I opened the front door for the cops? and Max ran inside to the kitchen and started tearing open that big bag of dog food we had. This really caught me by surprise, because in all the years I lived in that house, we never once called the cops. I asked her what she was talking about, and she looked equally surprised, as if she had just revealed something by accident. "Oh, that's right. I never told you because you were too young at the time. One night I woke up hearing noises outside my window, and when I looked, I saw a man staring into my bedroom." She went on to describe how turning on the lights caused him to take off running, and how she grabbed my dad's pistol before calling the cops. I can't remember all the details I gave them when they showed up, but he was a tall white male, wearing a striped shirt and jeans, short dark hair. They said it matched the description of a man they were looking for in the area. It turns out, he had escaped from jail on a murder charge. Now I know it sounds so obvious hearing those two stories back to back, but it wasn't until a few years ago in my mid-20s that I pieced together that my brother had unknowingly warned us about a murderer who spent multiple nights casing our home. I grew up on this island called Rendova in the Solomon Islands, which was completely isolated due to lack of modern technology. I lived with my grandmother, who was considered to be able to talk to spirits. Many weird things happened when I was growing up, but this is my most vivid story I remember. We had a little farm to grow our cassava and taro, and my grandmother and I went up nearly every day to work on it and harvest food for dinner. I was only 4 at the time, but I was my grandmother's little helper. At one point, my grandmother noticed that some of our crops were missing and decided to plant our ancestral ginger there. This ginger, as weird as it sounds, is said to have a demon. We used to sacrifice to inside of it that protects us. She planted it there to ensure whoever was stealing our crops would get caught. One afternoon, we're sitting at our leaf hut, and this man comes down from the path of our little farm. He's shivering, and mind you, this is the Pacific, so it's extremely hot, and he's very disorientated. And my grandmother at this point realized that he was the one who stole our crops, and decides to help him, and hopefully he will learn his lesson. She orders me to make a fire, and I start making one, while she goes and gets the man to sit him next to the fire. He's still shivering next to the fire, and so I get blankets and cover him, but he's still cold. My grandmother and I sit next to him, and she starts talking to him but not talking to him. She says something along the lines of, "It's time to come out now. Leave him alone." I never forgot how the man replied. It was the most demonic, low-sounding voice I had heard in my life. And the man replied with, "I don't want to come out. He's mine now." So at this point, I'm beyond scared, and my grandmother tells me to go get my uncles to come and hold him down. I go and get them, and they hold the man down, pulling him to the ground. My grandmother then starts doing a pulling motion, just above the man's body, and he starts screaming. My grandmother keeps going regardless of the man screaming, and repeats the process for about half an hour. Eventually, the man collapses, and my grandmother says she has to go into the forest to finish the rest of the ritual. She instructs me to stay with the man till he wakes up, and when he wakes up, give him some stew. The man wakes up and is completely confused as to where he is. I ask him if he remembers anything, and he says he remembers he was in intense pain. I send him off on his way back to his home village, and my grandmother comes back a bit later, with a ginger she has to plant. Nevertheless, the man learned his lesson and never stole from us again. When I was a teenager, I lived in my father's basement. He would frequently go on business trips, and I would be left alone in the house for up to weeks at a time. One evening in spring, I woke up alone watching TV around 2 a.m. when I heard through the open window what sounded like two distinct sets of footsteps outside, walking from around the front yard to the side, and then the backyard when they stopped. It was then that I realized, since all my lights were out, I couldn't see outside, but the outside could see me. I immediately panicked, shutting off my TV and lights. So now I was alone in my basement with no lights on, and what I thought were two prowlers sitting on my back deck. I don't know how long I was frozen in the darkness for, but after, I didn't hear any more sounds for a while. I quietly crept upstairs to try and get a better look of my backyard. Thankfully, all the lights upstairs were already off. Unfortunately, with the way the bushes and patio umbrella were set up, there was a large blind spot. I considered calling 911, but when my father inevitably found out, I would know for sure that I'd have to be forced to stay on my own, while he was out of state. So I stared at that deck, waiting to see movement for at least 10 minutes, before I began convincing myself that my mind was playing tricks on me. And I decided to go out to investigate. I grabbed the closest weapon I could find, an old shepherd's axe, and went out the front door and crept around the side of my house, crouching behind a bush. I finally mustered the courage to swing the axe into the bush and shout, "Hey!" Nothing would happen, right? No one was there, right? And I'd have a good laugh. I'll be embarrassed, though, when I realized I was just being paranoid. Instead, I immediately hear the sound of deck chairs scraping on wood, and two sets of human footsteps running off in the opposite direction. My heart stopped. I felt like I blacked out for a second from the adrenaline rush. I ran back around the side of the house in the direction where I came. What was I supposed to do? There was no time to think. I made it to my front door, swung open, and rushed inside and then slammed it shut, and stood there in the darkness, practically hyperventilating. I stared out into the street, waiting to see someone leaving the property, but no one did. It was then that I realized that now I wasn't safe inside my own house, like I thought I would be. I was trapped. So I ran out the front door in the middle of the street, where I could scream if I saw someone. Surely by now I could have called the cops, but I wasn't clearly thinking anymore, if I ever was. Now I was facing my house. I still didn't see anyone. So I glanced down to the street. Nothing. Then I looked right. Two male figures were walking by me, a block and a half down the street. Just as soon as I noticed them, they turned left at the T-junction on the main road and disappeared out of sight. For some reason, I ran after them, and then when I turned the corner, no one was there. They should have been there, and they could have only made it about half a block from where they were walking. They must have had a car waiting. I was 13. I was 14 at the time. I like to avoid confrontation, so I say as little as possible to offend someone or make them upset with me. At the time, I was at a stupid Halloween party that was basically for adults and young 10-year-old kids, so I was extremely bored, and my mom said I was too old to trick or treat, so I just walked along with a group of adults and young kids in costumes. At one point, this 16-year-old guy was introduced to me as being the oldest child of one of the moms in the group. You could tell by the way he talked and acted that there was something off with him. But I thought it was great that there was someone closer to my age, so I ignored it. My mom suggested we split off from the group to hang out. She's a very lenient parent, and I had a phone, so I agreed. Him and I were walking around the neighborhood as he went door to door, awkwardly asking for candy, as I stood back on the sidewalk as I couldn't ask for candy. At one point during the night, I noticed something with him was really off. He started asking me if I believed in vampires. I said yes, because I was worried what his reaction would be if I said no. His eyes lit up, and he started talking about him being a vampire, and asking if I wanted to come back to his house so he could bite and suck on my neck. I nervously laughed and said, "Oh no, I'm sorry, I have a boyfriend, and he wouldn't be comfortable with that." He replied with, "I have a girlfriend, but she wouldn't mind. It's just sucking your neck because my fangs get sore when I don't. Just come over." I knew he lived in the neighborhood because everyone in the group did, other than my family, luckily, so I didn't know how to say no. I kept politely declining, and the sun was almost completely down, so it was getting dark. I was getting scared from his persistence and being alone with him, so I started blowing up my mom's phone with calls and trying not to cry. She wasn't answering, so we wandered along the neighborhood and by the grace of God ran into the original group. I ran to my mom and hugged her, while crying and being mad at her for not answering, because she left her phone at the house. It may not sound that creepy, but this guy was so persistent and basically begging me to let him suck my neck when I was alone with him. This happened back when I was in high school. At the time, I worked part-time at a grocery store, and it had become tradition for a bunch of us to all go to some sort of haunt for Halloween. The first year, we went to a haunted forest, and then a haunted corn maze that began with me falling face first into a mud puddle. And this also included things like getting stuck in a shed-type building with a slew of Jason Voorhees characters, being chased by Leatherface and other funny things. It was fun. Anyways, I want to say this was our third year doing this. We were all headed to a haunted factory in a nearby city, and as this was before the advent of smartphones, we relied on printed directions. Because of the size of our group, we had to travel in three cars, and I was in the last car of the caravan with my coworkers Noelle and Janie. Alas, we got lost, because the people at the head of the group were terrible at navigation, and we ended up in a rough part of the city. At one point, we drove by a parking garage and I heard someone scream. Eventually, our car got separated from the rest of the group at a stoplight, and by the time it turned green again, we lost everyone else. We drove around for a while talking to each other on the phone and trying to find each other. I was in the back seat talking to someone in the first car, Laura, and trying to direct my driver, Noelle, while Laura tried to do the same with her husband who was driving their car. It was not going well. Eventually, I was just like, Noelle, just pull over somewhere and let them come find us. Now, there were a lot of places Noelle could have pulled over, like a Burger King or an office building parking lot, but he chose the parking lot of a shady bar. Why? I have no idea. Perhaps it was because there was a large key bank sign nearby that served as a good landmark for the others to find us. So, we were waiting in this lot for the others when a line of about 7 cars pulled into the bar. This wasn't so surprising because it was a Friday night, but they didn't park normally. No, they surrounded us. The front end of the car is pointing toward us, and because of their closeness, there was no space for us to drive out of there. We were trapped. For a few minutes, they just stared at us from their cars, and then they all started to get out and walk toward us. There were at least 10 rough-looking guys, and by this point I was convinced we were about to be robbed. Get your wallet out, I told Noelle and Janie as I did the same. I didn't have much money anyway, to be honest, which worried me, because I wondered what they would do if it wasn't enough. I was terrified but was trying to keep calm, and Noelle seemed genuinely not worried, but I can't believe he wasn't at least somewhat concerned, especially given his car contained both a teenager, me, and his girlfriend, Janie. As for Janie, she was so scared that she was crying. The guy I presumed to be the leader reached the door first, approaching the passenger side where Janie and I were. He looked inside the car at us for a moment, and then he and his group all went back to their cars and parked normally. Well, I wasn't taking any chances, and ordered very sternly, Noelle, go to the Burger King for God's sake. We eventually grouped up with everyone else and made it to the factory, which was far less scary than what we had endured. It doesn't sound scary, but it really was. I have a few theories. One, the guys got to the car and saw that we probably didn't have much to offer them, and changed their minds about mugging us. However, this seems unlikely. Two, they thought we were someone else, until they reached the car and looked inside. Definitely possible. And three, they were just messing with us. Whatever the reason, I was truly scared. And to this day, 13 years later, I regard the city with caution. This encounter took place in 2019, on Halloween. I was a sophomore in high school, not really at the age to full-out party, for me anyway, and not really at the age where I wanted to sit at home with my parents all night handing out candy, because I was too old to trick-or-treat. That day at school, a group of friends and I decided to make plans to roam around the city, wreaking havoc doing typical 16-year-old Halloween stuff. It started out pretty chill. We all got ready and dressed up in our costumes. I didn't have one planned out, but I was a bit eccentric at the time, so I winged it. I wore some purple pants, a rainbow bandana, hippie style, and every other colorful accessory you can imagine, until ultimately I was a rainbow. During our first adventure, we went to Target to walk around and show off all of our costumes. I remember distinctly this lady walked up to us and told us all this crazy stuff. We talked to her about how we were going to play with my Ouija board, tarot cards, pendulums, and other stuff. I used to be super into the paranormal. Her mood instantly changed from friendly to scared, almost like she wanted to run away. She told us she had a twin sister and felt very strange. She told us not to mess with the unknown because her sister was psychic and she knew things. Didn't think much of the encounter with a random stranger on Halloween at Target. We did play with the Ouija board, but no one got possessed, nor had a creepy encounter with a demon. This is where the encounter comes into play. It was dark. We were bored. Five of us were in my small room when my parents were home. We had more of a chance getting some excitement by walking around the neighborhood on Halloween than sitting in my room playing board games. We walked around and even trick-or-treated a little bit. It was a lot of fun, until we passed a large, dimly lit, vacant parking lot. It was vacant, all but one van that was situated facing toward the street. This time, I got bad vibes as we walked by. Just as we were passing, the window rolled down. Some of us looked back and some of us kept walking. I stopped and looked back, but it was so dark that all I could see was a faint glow of a cigarette. For some reason, what she said will stick with me forever. She said in a deep, raspy voice, "Hey kids, wanna come here and get some candy? I don't get a lot of kids where I'm from." Luckily, I was close enough to home at this point where I could have gotten there quickly if I needed to, and that's exactly what all of us did. I'm really against judging people, but I also like to look out for myself and friends. Maybe it was an innocent old lady just wanting to hand out candy, but at that point I trusted my instincts and booked ass. The whole day and night were just weird and creepy. And hey, if you enjoyed this video, go on and stab that like button. It really helps out the channel. Oh, and speaking of creepy tales, I've got another spine tingler waiting for you. If you want some more chills, click right here on this video. Trust me, you won't be disappointed. Until next time, don't be too scared to sleep.